This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Hey, good afternoon, all of my great peoples across North America and actually around the world. Good to have you all here. It's Carm Capriotto, Remarkable Results Radio, and the Town Hall Academy as we jump into an EOS update today. We have a great panel. Can I please introduce them? Jennifer Hulbert, Service Plus Automotive in Calcium, New York. Probably about what? 3, 4, 5 hours from good old Buffalo, maybe?
3.5. Yep.
Calcium, New York, facilitator also for the Institute. AJ Neely's here from Neely's Auto Service. 5 locations, or is there a 6th that I don't know about?
5 locations. That's correct.
5. Okay. He won't tell us about the next one, but I don't blame him. I understand. Locations around Maryland, and Carl Hutchinson from Complete Automotive in Springfield, Missouri. 2 locations. Hey, Carl.
Hey, good to have me. I'm just glad to be here. What the hell?
Glad to be me.
I'm glad to be seen.
So that everybody understands the behind the scenes in Town Hall Academies. You know, Carm sits here and, you know, he does a little genuflection at about 10 to the hour to be sure everybody shows up. But there's always one person who decides to show up at 2 minutes before the top of the hour. But Carl pushed it even further.
So 15 right seconds in, we're ready to go.
Great high fives to our partners here on the Town Hall Academy. Are you sick of switching to email to send a status update? Well, really, what century are we in? So stop wasting time by working in multiple applications when Shopware lets you do it right inside the repair order. Talk to my great friends at GetShopware.com. And when you turn to Delphi Technologies for your chassis needs, quality is always the forefront. Material and dimensional enhancements, as well as 700 hours worth of salt spray testing, goes into each and every chassis part produced. Visit DelphiAftermarket.com and see over 8,000 chassis parts that Delphi has in stock for you. Hey, and don't forget, man, we produce the Aftermarket Radio Network 8 podcasts for you each and every week, including Town Hall, Aftermarket Weekly, Remarkable Results, Matt Fonslow, Hunt Demarest, Chris Cotton, and the Walkers in the Marketing Podcast. So look at EOS, big, it's huge. We've done a ton of episodes, a lot of them with Barry Barrett, who happens to be an EOS implementer. And what I did, and I want to share all this with you, is I actually took EOS and I made him a part and parcel to our classroom. I created a classroom page on my website. I've got a picture I'd like to show you. And if you go to the classroom page, you'll find all these modules that you can use for your team. There's like 30 modules there, and you'll see EOS Entrepreneurial Operating System. There are 2 groups. So if you were going to sit down with your team and say, hey, let's go over this, or you'd say, listen, there's a lot of people implementing EOS. Let's take a look at this. Let's look at, there's like 8 episodes there all around EOS. And we created a special EOS collection. And on my website, on the collections page, you can find all of these, and including when this one is done and released, this will be on that collection also. So everybody, I'm here to support EOS because when I read the book Traction, and I had, knowing Barry so well, I basically said, my God, there is the magic pixie dust on how to run a great business. By the way, one other final comment is at Advision this year, Mike Patton from EOS Worldwide was there and spoke. And I thought that for Vision to put this up and out and try to motivate the people to find and gain some structure inside their business was just such a great thing that happened. It's about an update. AJ, you've been in EOS, I'm going to guess 3 years.
Yeah, it's about a good round number. Yeah. I think Carl and I were, he may have started a little bit ahead of me with that. But yeah, I think we're right about that.
Carl, is he right about that? Yeah.
I don't want to say we were one of the early adopters, but somewhere around 2019, I was coming back from actually visiting Barry and one of the Blig groups, that kind of thing. And Barry and I had about a 3-hour conversation while I was traveling, trying to figure out, well, why am I stuck? What's next? And it just happened to be he was already playing in that field. It just kind of snowballed from there. It took me a while to get going, but yeah, somewhere around 2019, 2020 is when we pulled the trigger on it and started really forming it together. And I'll be real truthful with everybody. It takes about a year to get this thing churning and really start to see results and really get it going. At least it did for us.
It's a huge shift, right, Jennifer?
It is. So you need to change your whole mindset of how you're running your business, of how you did it. And that's what was so inspirational for me is I was the one holding us back. And until I read Traction and talked to Carl and AJ and others in the group process that had been doing it and not realizing how much I was holding us back.
And now we're able to do this.
Yes.
Yeah. I was almost late because I was fixing the dryer, you know? So, yeah.
I got yard work to do. I know. It's killing me not to do it.
All right, Carl, we'll do this for you, but I got to go out and work.
Hey, right. It's like, I got to go. I got a tractor waiting.
Yeah. Very good. Jennifer, before we went live, she says, boy, isn't it a beautiful day. It's 75 and gorgeously sunny, and it's going to get cold again next week. But after this show, I think I'm going to go pour a bourbon and sit on the deck.
Speaking my language.
That's a good idea.
Fun, yeah.
Let's kind of hammer in a little bit. Anyone who's listening to us for the first time, I just want to list some of the key components of EOS: vision, people, data, issues, process, and of course, traction. And each of these have their own components. I love the people side of it because, you know, GWC, do they get it? Do they want it? Do they have the capacity to do it? And there's no doubt that in our gut, in the people that we've hired over the years, we felt this, but it was never defined. We've never asked ourselves, do they really get the job we've hired them to do? Do they really want it? And am I providing them the tools to have the capacity to do the job? And I know, AJ, you were just telling me you've had to make, as you've evolved, not only in growing your business, but with EOS, you've had to make some tough decisions.
You know, the early part of this episode, just also if anyone's kind of lost listening into this, like, what the heck is EOS? Well, that is actually the name of a book. So, and it was like Carl, Jennifer, and I, we were all in the same, you know, bottom line impact group together. And I remember John Waffler, holding up the book Traction and reading that as a technician, having a technician mindset, reading that, it just clicked. This is the playbook in which we're going to run and operate our business on. Just like a team, a football team has a playbook of plays. This is a playbook of plays to run and operate your business. And yeah, as far as the people component, that's a big part. You know, anyone that's just dabbling into EOS up front, you know, they tell you to actually really focus on the traction component first, right? Just start having your weekly meetings as a team, identifying and talking about key issues and things of that sort. And again, we're going to be throwing out a lot of acronyms here that make sense to us in the room. But for those outside listening to this, have never heard it before, it won't make sense. But yeah, the people component's huge because once you identify the people component, and with that, it comes with a core purpose, a set of core values, a set of expected behaviors inside your operation, it becomes really easy to almost create a scorecard of every employee inside your organization. And, you know, you do a plus/minus or a minus. And so when you're going, let's say you're picking, you know, John Doe in your organization, you want to rank him, you know, does he embody my grow or die core value? Does he or she embody, you know, my humbly confident core value? You know, as you're going through those core values, if it's all the time, it's a plus. If it's sometimes, it's a plus/minus. If it's never, it's a negative, right? And as you start to determine what your core purpose or what your core values are, you can then also rank your employees that way. And then also too, the GWC is part of that. Again, it's a tool in the toolbox. It's called the People Analyzer. And the GWC component is the get it, want it, capacity to do it. Get it is, if you're a technician, do you get the task at hand? Do you understand what we're asking you to do? Do they have that hunger about themselves, like wanting the opportunity to come in, day out, and put in the work? And then the capacity is almost, it's something that you can train on. Someone doesn't have the capacity to, say, do an alignment. You can train someone on doing that alignment, assuming that they are the right person in the right seat. Once you've identified them, you can go through your entire organization to understand if you get to what we call RPRS, right person, right seat. And you can identify those that may not be a good fit, you know, and then at that point, it's using the tools in the toolbox, holding them accountable, right? Having a below the line meeting. If someone is going against one of your core values, using that people analyzer, having that sit down and putting them on notice. Sometimes it can be overwhelming to understand like where to start because there's so many things that you realize, holy crap, I got to do all this stuff. Step one, just start having weekly meetings, same time, same day, every week. Everyone needs to be present except for death and vacation. That's what they say, right? And so when you set the example that Jennifer alluded to, it's got to come from you, right? And so if you're going to bring in an implementer, you yourself have to take ownership of this. The implementer is there to be the guide or the shaman or the guru, right? To kind of hold you hold you accountable to the process and lead you along your journey in EOS, but they can't do it for you, right? It's still got to be you and the individuals inside your organization to execute on that. Gosh, I mean, we could just go, I know we can, you know, those that, it's so funny. I think of it as like a cult. When you meet someone else in a totally different industry, it's like, oh, you know, you just get like really excited about talking about it. But it's so true. It's like, it is, it's like a little cult. I went to the EOS conference is going on right now in Indianapolis. I went last year with my integrator, and it's great to just network with other visionaries, other integrators, other people in leadership teams, talking about their struggles, their journeys, and all sorts of different industries. And you start to really sharpen the tools in the toolbox. You know, you really start to take advantage in using everything at your disposal to get to what we call EOS pure. You know, that's the ultimate goal. And as Carl alluded to as well, I think a year is even on the short end. I mean, a year maybe, to, like you said, kind of get things going and see that traction. And not let up, because you can't dabble in this. You're either all in or not in at all, right?
And, I'm waiting for AJ to take a breath so I can get a word in.
Yeah, I get excited.
No, it's true, because I was talking to my IT guy here the other day, and it's like, you know, I saw the book Traction laying up on his desk, and it's like, hey, are you guys running EOS? And he says, you know about EOS? And his eyes lit up, and it's like, yeah, you know, it's like we start, you know, all this. So my kitchen guy, I mean, we just bought a house. We're getting some kitchen stuff done. And he's asking me about, how do you run EOS? I mean, how do you do this? How do you do that? And it says, can I come to one of your meetings? And it's like, I think so. Let me find out from my leadership team, and you know, we'll get you in. And but yeah, I mean, it's across the board. It's in so many different places. But no, it's cool to talk to other people that have read the book and they're struggling. Because honestly, I tried to read the book like 3 times and I could not get through it. I mean, my technical mind was going, oh, I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to start this. And it's like, I can't do all of that. And that's when we backed up and said, all right, let's just start from the very beginning. And that's, you know, we brought Barry in from the very beginning. And honestly, I'm really glad we did, because we took all of the things that were rumbling around in our heads and we stuck them on a wall. And then that formed our company. And it's like, well, that's not what I was thinking, but I love it.
That came from your people.
Yes, that's who we are. And we've kind of got to the same place that I think that AJ's at now. You know, we're bringing our facilitator in once a year now, just for our yearlies, and we're doing our quarterlies on our own. We still have a huge impact, but it's really cool to see how the leadership team goes, no, that ain't good enough. And I think this is a bigger goal or a better goal or a different direction. And you're going, wow, that didn't come from me. That came from them. And that's what we're after. That's what we're trying to do, is to create that next level of leaders to take our places. And yeah, without this, I couldn't do it.
I heard Carl mention his struggle. Jennifer, what was the biggest struggle to get going?
To get through the first 2 chapters of the book, because I was like, Carl, I think I read them 4 times and my mind just exploded with all of this information and ideas, and I couldn't get to the next step. So he did a book club through our group process and forced us to go chapter by chapter and really kind of pick it apart to get us to that next step, to see the whole picture instead of just, you know, oh, I have to have my core values and my visionary all set before I can even start to meet with my team. Well, no, that's exactly backwards. And I did the same process that AJ and Carl did. I just started to meet, and then we formulated that as a team. I was excited. Yes, letting go of the vine. That for me was huge. I'm glad you asked me on Carl, because AJ and Carl have this implemented much more than I do. I have a much smaller staff and business. So one of the things that I wanted to make sure that your audience knew is you can do this on a modified version. You still need to follow all the steps, but you don't have to spend the money for an implementer. You can do this yourself, because that's what I did. I am 1.5 years in. Everyone has a number. We have everyone in the right seat right now. We're communicating more. We're changing some of our core values as we evolve. I have a couple of new leadership members who have different ideas, and I can see that working for us better. We can just on our own level if we need to, but you still need to have all the pieces. I don't want to let that slide. You still need all of the pieces that the book talks about.
We just had a great comment. Let's catch it early here in the show. The books you're referencing, yes, Gino Wickman all of Gino's books that reference EOS, I think they all do, EOS, How to Be a Great Boss, Traction, Rocket Fuel, and Get a Grip. They're on my books page on my website.
Yeah, they're on the books page. You probably all the rest of them are there too. All the Pat Lencioni books.
Pat Lencioni books are there, yeah.
They go right hand in hand. I mean, you really can't. You can't function as a good leader without reading the Pat Lencioni books and the Five Dysfunctions of a Team. Man, the other ones just elude me now. It's just like How to Be a Great Team Member or something like that. Or
The Ideal Team Player.
Yeah, The Ideal Team Player.
The Four Obsessions of a Highly Functional.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you're looking at your shelf.
I got a cheat sheet. I got see my them books over here. Here. Yeah. The Advantage.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
But yeah, I've yet to read Rocket Fuel, but that's one of the key books, and I've yet to read it, and it's just part of it. I mean, it's just, we still got a lot to learn.
It's a process. I mean, as you get deeper and deeper and the more meetings and the higher level of people, I've had a change in my leadership team, and my new candidate or my new sales lead is that higher position because that's what we grew into. So as you replace or get new members of your management team and your leadership team, then go to a different level. We increased our sales by almost 40% in that year once we started. So it letting go of the vine karma, I go back to that comment. Again, I was holding us back. I mean, I thought I was saving the company money. I could do it all myself. But once I saw what AJ and Carl started to do, kind of the light bulb went off in my thick head here. And then I realized I need to surround myself with people who are smarter than me in those positions. And that's when my business really took a huge change and has allowed me to not be in the office. As you can see, I'm at home today on a 40-hour, 50-hour a week basis anymore.
What Jennifer said there, you can do this on a single location. It does not, you don't have to have multiple locations, and you can run it almost pure. I'm going to venture a guess that none of us are running it 100% pure. And that's okay. I don't want to, because I want it to be Complete Automotive's operating system. It needs to be Neely's operating system. It needs to be Service Plus operating system, or whoever's name you want to put in front of it. It is a guide. It is a master plan. And then you put your name on it. You tweak it. You can adjust the verbiage. You can adjust the names. You can call your L10 meeting, whatever the heck you want to call it. It's yours. That's the thing. There's no EOS police going to show up at your door and fine you for doing it wrong. I think that's where we get hung up in this, because we got hung up in a lot of the terminology. If you've been around me very long at all, you know I dislike the word manager. It has really no place in our business. So I love the word leader. We're keeping that. And so instead of being a general manager of a location, you are a facility leader. You actually own that location. A manager just puts out fires and those kinds of things. So, but nobody knows what the heck an implementer is, or maybe a visionary. You know, you get into these different roles and things, and heck, name them whatever the heck you want to name them. That's the cool part about it, is it's yours. Once you start, it's yours.
Well, I was going to touch too on the dysfunction of a team. That's a big thing for us, right? And also too, like when you're using an implementer and also with EOS, they have their own library, right, for running on EOS, but they are also using other resources that complements that. So yes. Patrick Lencioni too with the books, right? Five Dysfunctions of a Team is huge, because that to me was a clear way of identifying the dysfunctions in my teams, right? And how these different dysfunctions, it's almost like a pyramid, and you've got, it's almost like the food groups, right? You've got five different layers here. And
we're trying to get to the meat.
Trying to get to the sugar on the top. Yeah. So, but on the bottom layer, it's what a lot of teams struggle with initially, right? Is that lack of trust, right? And when you don't have that lack of trust, then the next level is the fear of conflict, right? And if you can't have healthy, open discussions about issues, then you're not going to be able to solve them, right? The next layer is committing, right? Buying into whatever that vision is or whatever the process might be. And then accountability, to us, that's huge. You know, we're really dogmatic on accountability. You know, if everyone inside the organization has a number, we're going to hold you accountable to that number. You know, if we're seeing an issue and it's off kilter, we drop it down to the issues list or in the L10 to identify what's going on. And then ultimately at the top is the results. At the end of the day, we're driving towards results, right? And for us, it could be a revenue figure. It can be a profitability number, you know, whatever that result is. But all those dysfunctions compound on one another. that's a huge suite and library of books that complements, and it's really helping on the people side, the team side of things. EOS isn't like a people-centric thing. It's really, again, the playbook. It's up to you to identify the talent. It's up to you to put the people in the right seats. It's up to you to identify dysfunctions and fix that. And that's where Patrick Lencioni's books really kind of come into play on that people component. EOS will help you identify and create the structure and the process around that.
Right.
But those two go hand in hand, 100%.
If you run more than one shop, you know how vital it is to keep up with how each one is performing. But it can drive you crazy to log in and out of each shop's database as you try to compare KPIs. Well, look, stop making it hard. With Shopware's advanced analytics, you can easily pull all that data into one report. Heck, you can even set up the system to pump it out in a graph or a chart and then email it to you anytime you want. Why tax your brain before you even start looking for trends and wins to celebrate? Let the computer do the work for you. Spend less time sifting through pages of numbers. Now, once you see your business's potential right in front of you, you can take steps to make it even better. And then you can take a night off to enjoy the time you just won back. Benefit. Go with the team that created DVX, my friends, at GetShopware.com. As the trusted aftermarket brand for over 100 years, Delphi Technologies is by your side for every step of the repair process. The Delphi journey doesn't stop once the parts are ordered. Wherever your journey takes you, our quality parts gives you ease of mind when getting your customer's vehicle back on the road. Technicians know and trust Delphi as a quality brand. Each product undergoes rigorous testing to not only meet OE standards, but also enhance it in each opportunity. From 700 hours of spray testing on chassis components to fuel pumps tested for reliability up to 150,000 miles. And safety and reliability is paramount to help vehicles drive cleaner, better, and further throughout their lives. Delphi is also committed in developing products and services to prepare technicians for the future. Take advantage of how-to videos on YouTube, technician-led trainings, and our technical support line, and more. Turn to the aftermarket parts supplier with over 100 years of OEM trust and quality. Learn more about Delphi. Visit DelphiAftermarket.com. Hey, guys, how critical? I mean, you know, it starts with the visionary and then the integrator. How critical? If you are not a visionary and you just love to be in the thick of it, you're the hands-on person. Do you have to hire yourself a visionary? Can you do both roles?
I'm going to say yes, because I'm sitting in both seats.
You have to say, I have to let you know.
Yeah, you got to take one hat off and put the other hat on every once in a while. But, you know, I think once you get enough layers, now you can have that ability to have that implementer and you can go back to being the visionary.
You mean integrator.
Integrator, sorry.
So I was going to say, a lot of times we get those.
Yeah, we get them mixed up.
Implementer helps implement EOS. Integrator is kind of the executor of your vision.
He's the guy that gets things done. It's kind of like the hammer that drives the nail. But in my position, I've had to step back into both of those roles. So it's really hard to be that guy that's looking forward and trying to see where are we going when I'm actually back here doing the tasks that really somebody else should be doing. But the cool thing about it is when you're in growth mode, you're growing people to do that. I may sit in that seat, but I'm delegating all of those things out. And it's every L10 meeting, every quarterly meeting, whatever it is, it's like, okay, yeah, I own that, but you're doing it. And it's like, I own that one, but you're doing it. And just report back to me on how it gets done. And with the idea that you want to grow that next person and they're going to take that over, that's the only way we're going to get that done, because to go out and actually hire somebody to do that, I think it would be really hard unless they grew up in the industry and they grew up into that position already. So those are some kind of rare people. They're out there, but I think I would much rather have the person from inside the company fill that seat.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to visionary, there really isn't a replacement than you as the owner. Like, it has to come from you. But you can hold both duties as far as visionary and integrator, right? Until you do have the ability to kind of either hire within or hand off that seat to somebody else. But if that book, Rocket Fuel, that book was written to talk about the visionary integrator relationship. And that's the reason why the book is called Rocket Fuel, right? Because the space shuttle had two different fuels and independent from one another. They don't do much, but once they mix, they create a rocket that can get you out of orbit, right? And that's really where the dynamic between the visionary integrator really comes into play. But you as the owner, it's got to come from you. You may look for guidance. It's got to come from you as far as that's concerned. You know, you really wouldn't be hiring out a visionary. There are scenarios, actually, when you read the book Rocket Fuel, there's actually resources in there where there exist fractional integrators. There are integrators that exist looking for someone else's vision to just go out and execute, right? There's resources on the website out there where there are people that yearn to be an integrator for someone else's vision, where they see it, they operate, they have that small business mindset, and they go out and get it done. And that's really ultimately, at the end of the day, the visionary casts the vision. The integrator executes on that vision. And in its simplest way of looking at it, that's the gist of those two roles.
Hey, guys, let's talk about issues. Your team knows it's a critical component to EOS. We come across roadblocks or obstacles, challenges in the company, and new ideas. Do you encourage this free flow of information all the time or just at meetings?
All the time. And honestly, the best phrase that I've heard about issues yet is if you have no issues, that's an issue, because I guarantee you've got issues. So we actually had to kind of change the terminology up and get away from issues for a while. And it's like, well, what frustrates you? And then all of a sudden, it's like, we had all these things. Well, this frustrates me, that frustrates me. And they were hung up on the idea of an issue. They thought an issue had to be this big, ginormous rock thing that we were going to try to fix. No. It's things like people are parking in the handicapped parking spot, or they're parking the tow-in cars up front instead of in back, or, you know, just all these little things. And those are frustrations. So once we got it through to them that an issue is really just a frustration, you bring me that frustration, we'll talk about it. And then we can grade it and figure out, well, is it really important? Is it not? And sometimes some of these frustrations are much bigger, but nobody talks about them until they tip it in. And then you go, well, all right, I don't think that's the issue. I think the issue is an underlying thing that you're not talking about. And then once we delve into that, then you can bring it up and you really get to the heart of the issue, because we thought we had a process issue. And when we really got to talking about it, no, it wasn't a process issue. It was a people issue. Then you got the other tool in the toolbox, and then you just go right onto it.
I was just going to speak on issues as well. Is we want that free flowing information all the time, but knowing that we have one day and one time of the week where we get the entire crew together, that's when we IDS it. Now, issues can come up all the time.
Yes.
And I always put it back on that employee to add it to the issues list. So when we run, well, for example, there's also software that exists to help you run on EOS, which is huge. We were using one. It was called Traction Tools, but with some licensing agreement, now it's changed to Bloom Growth. So they don't use any of the acronyms from EOS.
Right.
EOS Worldwide has its own software now called EOS One, I believe. And then there's another software called 90.io, or no, 90. Yeah.
I think 90, it's 90 something.
Yeah, something along those lines that help you run on EOS. And so we have every employee download the app on their phone. That's a day one onboarding task that we do with every employee inside the organization. We have to pay per user per month, but we're getting, again, we're EOS Pure. We're getting everyone running on this system. But when they have an issue and they come to, say, myself or someone else about it, the response is add it to the issues list, make sure we can discuss it next Tuesday, right? And that's our opportunity as a team to discuss it and talk about it. And not all issues have to be bad either. They could be ideas, you know, things of that sort that come up, which is great. I will say this, though, if we've got a big enough issue that goes against a core value, and that's with an individual, that's a below the line meeting that happens within 24 hours, full stop.
I don't want to just say, hey, there's only one meeting that happens a week, because that's the leadership meeting that happens once a week. But every department has their own, say, you might call it, well, it's an L10 meeting. It might be a leadership meeting within that department. So our production staff has one and our sales staff has one. And then I'd like to say that marketing and finance has one too, but that'd be a lie. But the idea is, yeah, right. I could talk to myself. So the production has theirs, and with two locations, that's two separate meetings. So they solve a lot of problems that never make it to the leadership meeting. those are solved at those levels. Same way with the sales meetings. Those things get solved and figured out. Only the things that can't be taken care of within those meetings makes it to the, I don't want to call it the next level, but the leadership meeting, to where it can really be talked about on the next level up. Then we can make decisions and cascade them back out. But yeah, there's, I hate to say, there's a lot of meetings that go on, but they're not all super long.
Yeah, they're really not long. You know, we talk about L10s taking 90 minutes. That's up to 90 minutes. Mm-hmm. And that's interesting to hear that that's your process, Carl, because with us, with five locations, what we do is Tuesday's meeting day. And so all of our L10s occur in that day. They start at 9 a.m. for leadership. And then from 11 on the hour, every hour, there's an L10 that exists at every location. Mm-hmm. So what we do is our, because we also have, you know, you're going to learn, again, we're throwing out lingo here, VTO, the Vision Traction Organizer. So the traction part of that, which is, you know, your 1 year, your quarterly rocks, your 1 year plan, 3 year target, all that stuff, 3 year picture, that we create specific to that location. So all the employees at that location know, this is what's in my control. These are the issues. These are the goals to accomplish here in the next 90 days, next year, and where we're trying to get to in 3 years. And so as a result, we create an L10 that has everyone at that location to discuss, because I will say a lot of issues that exist are based on the sales and operations functions. Mm-hmm. And we have found that we can create silos if those meetings happen independently of one another. We used to want to have them so it was just sales on one side and just operations on the other. And when you look at the accountability chart, it is broken up that way. Mm-hmm. And there is a chain of command, so to say. And we also, again, the accountability chart's not called an organizational chart because we don't want to create those silos, right?
Right.
But the thing is with that is we do need all employees at one location discussing those issues, because it has everything, like you said, to do with parking. Has to do too with check-in inspections, and the service advisor's not checking in vehicles fast enough for the technicians to get the tickets, right? And that's an issue where when we have at a location level, that sales and ops, everyone needs to be on the same page at that location, because it all affects what their traction, what their departmental traction looks like as far as their goals are concerned. So that's the kind of the way that we run it with our weekly L10s at a location. I mean, it's something we've had to fine tune over time to see what works, right? And I'll say this too, back to the silo piece. And, before we went on air, my leadership team looked a lot bigger. You know, it's myself, an integrator, a head of finance, and that same individual also is my HR individual, and then head of operations and head of sales. My head of operations, head of sales got me to five locations, but unfortunately, they weren't going to have the capacity to get, they got it and they wanted it. They didn't have the capacity to get me to say 10 locations where we want to continue to grow and strive. And every organization is going to have these growing pains, by the way. I don't care if you're making $1 million a year or $100 million a year. Anyone that's in a growth trajectory are going to run into these growing pains. And it's just something that we understood. And I had to make a tough call to do that. But as a result, what was occurring with the head of sales and head of operations is it was creating a silo, because those technicians, if they had issues, would talk to one individual in the organization about them. And what we lost was an opportunity for all the technicians to learn about a problem that that person had. And so whether it was going over a process, whether it was a troublesome vehicle, what I'm harping on inside the organization is complete transparency amongst the entire organization about anything that's going on. Service advisors alike, if a salesperson had an issue, they would go to the head of sales. We lost an opportunity for other service advisors to chime in on an issue with maybe a better idea or better practice, or for them to learn about, that's how it should be done. And so using Google Workspace, for example, is how we operate our business, and they can chat amongst one another. Again, another terminology I use is called decentralized command. We want to give all the employees at a location level ownership in their position, empower them to make calls on the field. Don't waste your time, in SEAL units, they're not wasting their time calling up the chain of command to make a call in the field, right? Should we storm that building? Should we take that hill? You make the call. We'll debrief after the fact. If it was a bad call, we'll learn from it. And then we can cascade that out to all the locations so we can learn. So that's just something that we've really harped on and focused on. It's just, if we have an issue in sales, send it to the sales chat. We can all talk about that. If it's something that everyone inside the organization should know, that goes on there as well. Or if it's just technicians talking about cars and problem vehicles and how to diagnose something, that can't just go to one person in the organization, because that creates dependency, a crutch, inside the organization. We have so many people inside our organization that are so smart. We need that tribal knowledge to just be shared amongst everybody.
I want to make a point about the L10 meetings. We didn't have a safe environment prior to Traction and EOS for our employees to share frustrations. They felt that they were just weren't able to do that. So that was our main focus once we started to meet, that everyone had a voice. You were listened to. It didn't matter if the issue was a problem for you, it was a problem for the business, and we needed to IDS it and figure it out. So people starting the process, you need to really, especially in our positions, need to make sure that your staff feels comfortable sharing information, talking about information, and bringing those items out, or you're not going to make any traction.
Before we get anywhere near the close of this, I got to throw rocks up here. Let's tell everyone what rocks are and how it works.
Rocks is a goal. So these are the goals that you're trying to set per position, per like leadership or sales or production. It's the goals of the company. So our rocks right now deal with average sales per year, per month, average repair order. Right now we're struggling with some parts gross profit. So that's on our rocks list for this year because it's not a singular month problem. We have an overall problem. So rocks are a goal.
That's the idea of the rocks or the goals. It's not a thing I'm going to do today. So it might be a thing that needs to get done this quarter. That'd be a rock or a goal for this quarter. And then we also have rocks or goals for the year. What needs to happen in this whole year to support maybe our 3-year plan or our 10-year plan? That really doesn't have to happen this year, but it's a goal we want to try to get done. And that might be, well, one of ours is trying to create our own in-house training program. So that's not a rock or a goal that we're going to get done this year. But the idea of it is we've got it worded to where we want to at least structure it. We want to have it written out on paper, what it looks like. So that's one of our rocks for this year. We might break that down to, well, one of my rocks this quarter is to maybe script up the service advisor portion of it or the technician portion of it, or how do we go out and find local trainers to add into it? So that'd be like a rock or a goal for this quarter. That's the difference between, you might call them 90-day rocks or yearly rocks or whatever you want to call them. EOS calls them rocks, which I like that because it's different from goals. I think everybody's tired of goals. So when you call them a rock, now you got to do something with this thing. Then the other part of it is the to-dos. Every issue that we've ever had, anything that happens, it's like, if we're going to solve it, that means somebody's walking away from here with a to-do. They're going to do something about that issue, whether it's talk to a customer, talk to a vendor, write a process, write a procedure, who knows? I mean, plan an event, whatever it is, but whatever we just talked about, somebody's going to walk away with a to-do, and that's to be done before the next week's meeting. And if not, then now you got to sit there and tell everybody why it didn't get done.
The term rocks kind of comes from that, imagine visualizing a big jar, right? And you're putting rocks into that jar, and then you put smaller pebbles in there, and then you can kind of fill in all the other voids with sand that goes in there. And before you know it, you got this full jar with all the stuff, right? The big rocks are the big items you need to get done. You know, for example, we just got done our quarterly meeting pulse yesterday, and one of the company rocks, and rocks are meant to be done in 90 days, right? You got a 90-day window to get a rock completed. And you have, which is part of your 1-year picture, right? And or 1-year plan. So in that, with those big rocks, you know, for example, for me, I want to get one of my locations to be a Maryland State Inspection Facility, right? It's not a to-do. I'm not going to be able to get that done in 7 days, right? To-dos are 7-day windows, absolutely no longer than 14 days. Then we have an issue. So they're meant to be smaller. And so your rocks can consist of milestones, as we say, to get that done. Like Carl mentioned, broken down into to-dos that can get done in 7 days or less. So like, for example, the state inspection facility, well, one of the big things is I need a Maryland state inspector, right? So then that comes with its own set of to-dos to get done to make sure we get him the correct study material, make sure that individual can get signed up for the test, make sure that individual passes the test. You know, then applying online for the state inspection facility, then getting the walkthrough done from the trooper, and then like there's all these things that have to happen. So And those are those 90-day rocks, those quarterly rocks that we need to hit to get done. And as far as that's concerned, at a company level, we have them. You know, leadership level, we have big rocks we want to get done. But also, too, you know, we do quarterly conversations with every employee inside the organization. And myself now kind of sitting, really kind of sitting in the seat of head of operations, head of sales, right? I personally sat down with every employee inside the organization, had about 30 employees that I sat down with over a week's time. And so it's great to get that face time with every one of them. And another tool in the toolbox when you do these quarterly conversations is the 5-5-5, right? Discuss your 5 roles and responsibilities, the 5 core values, and your 5 rocks. Now, to us, it's a little bit overwhelming for an employee to kind of focus on 5 rocks for the quarter. That can be a lot. And so we like to have at least 1 rock for every employee. And honestly, for us, because it embodies our core, grow or die core value, it can be personal or it can be professional. You know, there's a lot of people inside our organization that want to start a family, buy a house, you know, get a new car, you know, whatever that is, whatever that's going to motivate them. And it has to come from their mouth. And we're not in a position to tell them, like, you need to get an ASE certification, right? That doesn't do any good. We like to empower them to have them make the decision about what they want to work on in the next 90 days. Because what happens is when we do our L10, the rocks come up every meeting. It gives us the ability to determine, are you or are you not, you know, are you not or are you on track, right? On track, off track, or done. Those are the 3 things that are done with every quarterly rock. So, and if they're not on track, you know, we drop it down to the issues list. Let's talk about that. What do you need from us to help you get your rock accomplished, right? And so that's not just at a leadership level. It's everyone inside the organization has a set of rocks. And then when you go at the end of the year, we had our first annual Neely Day, right? Big party. You know, we had the casino night. We had the DJ, karaoke. We had that going on. So it was a great event. And I was able to run a report in Traction Tools and look at all the to-dos that were accomplished, all the rocks that were accomplished throughout the entire year, and throw that out there on the projector for everyone to see just how far we've come in just 1 year. And so to document all of these as the year goes on, it's really thrilling to look back and see we had X amount of babies born. We had X amount of homes that were bought, you know, and it's like, wow. You know, at the end of the day, you know, that's really the most thrilling part about our role is to be able to get up and it's not the 9 employees or the 30 employees you have that you look, it's the families, man. And when I see someone that's like expecting a newborn or just bought a house, or it's like, we got the ability to create that for them. And that's huge.
Well, there's no doubt we could go on for 3 hours, but we're not going to, because if it takes you 4 or 5 times to read the first 2 or 3 chapters of Traction, that you can go back and listen to these episodes that we've created on EOS. I have a feeling, and I didn't see his name pop up, but Barry Barrett may have been hovering over on LinkedIn giving us a watch, because I saw some great comments that only an implementer would be able to talk about. Kathy Lee here said, do you have rocks boards for your teams for their individual goals?
Yeah, that's discussed on the software that we use when we run our L10s. L10, it's a level 10 meeting, right? We want every meeting to be rated a 10, right? That's why it's called a level 10. But anyway, a handful of minutes of that meeting is dedicated to going over the rocks for the quarter. And that's our opportunity for everyone to see what those rocks are and see if we're on track or off track.
I will throw out one thing, Carm, about reading the book. Everybody that's read the book that's struggled with it, usually I lead into, hey, go read the other book first. What the heck is EOS?
Yes.
It's a much easier book to read. It puts it in more of layman's terms, and it doesn't put all of the things in that make your head go, oh, I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do that.
The details and the structure.
Yeah. It leaves all that stuff out, and it just says, this is how it works. This is the terminology, and these are the positions. And I want to say it's more of in layman's terms. For me, it's more like, talk to me like I'm a 4-year-old first. Mm-hmm. Let me grasp it on that level. Then I can go to the other book and go, oh, yeah, this is much more technical. And really, it's like the playbook. And honestly, I don't know how anybody could run what we're doing off of just the book. We've got leadership manuals that have all the tools in the toolbox. They have all the quarterly stuff in it. They've got all the, I don't know, it's a binder.
It's the playbook.
It's honestly the 3-ring binder playbook. You know, when you're at your quarterly or your annual meetings, you've got this book laid out in front of you, and you go, okay, what's the 5-5-5 thing? And it's like, all right, let's go over to the toolbox page. You flip over there and you go, this is how it works, and it explains it to you. What does GWC or what does visionary mean? Or my gosh, I looked at it the other day and it's like, wow, there's like 50 tools in the toolbox. I didn't realize there was this many in here. I'm gonna have to sit down and go through some of these things because there's stuff about mergers and acquisitions in there. I did not realize that all this stuff is in there, but that's one of the cool things about it is whatever the issue is, there's a tool there for it. You just got to know how to use it.
The objective here was that we hope you kind of get some motivation from people that are already there at all different levels. You can realize that EOS really can work and can happen. It's an important trend, I believe, that's going on not only in the aftermarket, but worldwide for businesses. It's a great discipline. If you lack it, you need this structure, and it will change your business. So thank you for this great update. I'm going to go Jennifer, Carl, and AJ. Anything that you didn't have a chance to say or comment on? Jennifer?
As far as back to the book, I think What the Heck is EOS is a great book for all of your staff to read when you're trying to introduce the whole system because it kind of brings it down to an elementary level. Again, get through the book, just read it, and then go back to implementing.
I love what you said about it's a trend that's happening. I don't think this is a trend that's going to go away. I actually watched one of your podcasts here the other day, or I don't remember which one it was, but was talking about trends, and I don't think this is a trend that's going to go away. Honestly, all companies run on an operating system, all companies, whether they know it or not, whether it works or not. And that's the idea of EOS is it just packages it. That's what it does. Like AJ said, it just packages it. Here's the playbook. It's not necessarily you figure out how to operate it because there are people, I mean, us and other people that can help. But it's a playbook that works. And it doesn't matter whether you're an HVAC company, automotive repair, kitchens, dentists, doctors, lumberjack. It doesn't matter what it is. It's an operating system for everybody.
Just start the process. Start the meetings and refine it from there. You will learn from your team. You'll learn from the process. You'll learn for talking to other people, watching your podcasts. It works, but you just need to start process and then kind of refine it from there. So
I'm going to attempt to just share my screen right here. There are the books that I have up on my website. So many of the books that we have been chatting about. And just so that you know that they're there. And these are real things and important that you read before you jump in it. You've got the last word, AJ.
Yeah, like Carl alluded to, this stuff is not new. These concepts are not new. They've been around for a long time. But like you said, it's been put together in a package with cool acronyms and thrown out there to utilize and implement. And yeah, I agree with Jennifer too. Like, just you have to take action. It starts with you. You can't hand off. You got to want it, right? At the end of the day, it's got to be you that wants it. Yes, you can self-implement. I started, on my own self-implementing, but to take us to the next level, bringing in Barry, for example, as an implementer was absolutely instrumental to take advantage of all the tools that didn't even know existed, honestly, that took us to the next step. Just taking action, getting in there, getting it done, but it's got to be you that wants it. It's got to be you that does ultimately implement it. And it's got to be your vision too at the end of the day.
Well, thank you so much, everyone. This was great. Appreciated an EOS update. It was kind of long overdue. I think we needed to get this update done. Jennifer Hulbert, Service Plus, Calcium New York, AJ Neely, Neely's Auto Service, all kinds of 5 points all around Maryland. And Carl Hutchinson, Springfield, Missouri, 2 locations. Thank you all so much for your support and bringing a great dialogue to the industry.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Carl.
Great to be here.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.